Welcome to the downstairs.
Welcome to the downstairs. We are here again. It's another week. And, you know, guys, it's been an interesting week for me.
Sounds like it's been an interesting week for both of you.
Yeah. You've been doing a lot of work. I've been doing a lot of work. Just upset the whole time.
What happened?
Okay, well, first of all, I don't really talk about my job on here. It's been a couple episodes, but I hate it. I don't like it. I don't like it anymore. And most of the reason why is because we got a new manager. And what happened was my old manager is a programmer as well. So he has two different jobs to do. They basically brought a guy in so he doesn't have to do both jobs. So his sole purpose is to make sure we're not fucking up.
God, I hate those guys.
Yeah. And he's one of these. Yeah, we're gonna have to
move you.
He's that fucking guy. And it seems that I've been getting talked to about something every day since this guy started. Like, you know, things that weren't a problem before are now a problem. Not only that, the particular stuff that we're working on right now is a lot of processing that has to go into the part. So,
like, after machining?
Yeah. So I've been at work later. I've been at work till like 5 sometimes. And like, I get home 5:30, go to bed at 7 in the morning, and then I wake up the next day at 3:30 or 4, and then I have to go to work at 5. I have to be at work by 5, and that's annoying because that means I have no wife, and it's really trash. So I don't like it. I don't like it at all, and I felt like, you know, this weekend I wanted to take a little break, and I needed to go to Wise Guys. I needed to talk to Keith because he doesn't answer text messages. And Lil Duval, comedian.
I saw that. I was super excited.
Coming to fucking Salt Lake. And I wanted to open for Lil Duval.
Oh, that's fire.
And I never asked Keith for anything. I asked him for a show that I eventually sold out. So I feel like I'm pretty much in good and I can ask him. So I went to ask him if I can open for Lil Duval. Turns out D.L. Hughley's performing. So I get into the fucking D.L. Hughley show free as fuck because I got, hey, I got to just holler at Keith. And she's like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
And then I go in and I fucking watch a show. And Arvin was there.
Oh, cool.
Arvin was trying to get an interview with D.L. They didn't let him. But his opener said he would interview with him. So he got to do that. It was a great show. It was good to see. It was cool to see a true king of comedy work in person.
Yeah.
In that sort of room. In the room that I work in. You know what I mean? That's it was just super cool. Yeah. And he did 20 minutes straight jokes, 20 minutes straight crowd work. And it was a very clear distinction. D.L. Hughley is technically, he's one of the most technical comedians I've ever seen in person. Like, set up punchline, tag, tag, tag. Set up punchline, tag, tag, tag. That's his method. And then crowd work is, what do you do? Are y'all married? You know, typical crowd work stuff. And it's funny every time. It's funny every time. He's calling back to the crowd work he did minutes ago. Like, it was just great. He did a great job. It's good seeing him. He had two shows. I went to the first one. I ran into some comedian friends that were just there. They go to Wise Guys just to drink. It's a bar too. And I ran into them, and we decided to go hang out at Johnny's.
So right? Did you ask Keith about?
I did. He said Lil Duval was bringing his crew.
Oh yeah.
He's bringing people.
I would assume.
Yeah.
But
that's why I didn't mention it further.
Yeah.
But
I heard the was when you first brought it up, and I was like, this is, so it didn't pan out.
Yeah, no, it didn't pan out. He's bringing everybody that he wants to have on his show. But, yeah, so we decided to go to Johnny's.
I just got a funny idea. We make like all the posters as if you are gonna open for him. Yeah. And see, come see TJ at Lil Duval show. And there's just you're just in the crowd. Like,
he is there.
Hey guys, what's up?
How you doing? Welcome to Lil Duval show. I'm not on it, but no, yeah. So
you went to the bar. You went to Johnny's.
No, before we went to the bar, we decided to go to the bar, and then we started leaving. Dallas was walking to the right. And I was like, the way, you know, there's a middle parking spot and on the street in the gateway, and then there's the garages or whatever. So I parked in the middle parking spot. Dallas parked in the garage. I was going to walk around that way with him, but I decided against it. My car's parked more towards this side, so I'll walk this way. Start walking that way. I fucking find $100 on the ground. Just right in front of the hall pass. People, there's tons of people.
Like real life money? Like not one of those church?
Yeah.
There was, no. I saw $100 blowing around. And I said, ain't nobody see this $100? So shit, I did the scoop. You know what I'm saying? You got to do the scoop. You can't let nobody see you. Scoop it up right quick. Put that bitch in my pocket. I was like, oh shit, I just got $100. Yeah. I walked down some more. I get to the Dreamscapes. Fucking another $100 bill is laying on the sidewalk.
So at what point did you like walk into the candy house and get boiled alive by the witch?
I picked up this $100 bill and I light jogged to my car. I didn't know who was watching me. Is this bait money? What the fuck? Shit, I'm going to the bar. Shit, first round on me. Shit. I can't believe that shit.
That's
I would not believe that shit.
I get to the bar. You know what I'm saying? And I got dollars on me, but this ain't shit. Them dollars ain't shit. I got $200. First round on me. Let's get it. I buy the drinks. You know what I'm saying? I'm buying drinks for myself, and I ain't buy all the rounds. I hustle for myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm in there sipping. You know, and I get to, you know, all right, let me get one more. I'm gonna break this 100. You know, I'm break this first 100. You know, it's like 12. We got there at like 10. It's like 12 now. I said, hey, Jack and Coke. Give me a Jack and Coke. Give her the money. She made the drink. She took the money. Then she took back the drink. I was like, what the fuck? And she was standing back there with a dude. She pointed at me. And I was like, oh, she's trying to find change. Ain't enough change. I got to wait on her to bring some change. So the dude that she was talking to disappears. Then he tapped me on the shoulder. I was like, fuck. Hey, you got to come outside, man. You got to come out. That 100 was fake. Walk me out the fucking bar and put me out. Put me out the bar.
Did you say, like, hey, can you test this one?
No, I didn't say that shit. I left in shame. What the fuck do you mean? Can I test? No. Fucking left in shame. I pulled out my goddamn other 100, looked at it. The motherfucker say play money on the shit. It was like, and it has to because of how realistic the fucker looks. I'm not reading serial numbers. It's right where the serial number is at.
Yeah, someone was filming like a music video or something.
I got duped. Somebody filmed me picking that 100 up and then light jogging to my car and said, this asshole, we should follow him. That's probably what they did. If somebody in Johnny's filming me get punked by $200. I just balled man. Out.
See, this is why
with
you
my
don't,
regular money.
You don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Bro,
you know?
Man, them chickens was hatched. I was like, oh, this shit is mine. This is the gateway. It's people walking around. It's totally plausible that somebody dropped $200. I just found $20 on the ground 2 weeks ago, and I used it, and it was fine. So I'm just thinking the Lord keep blessing me or something. And then I get to this bitch, and they put me out the goddamn bar.
Fucking sucks.
Because my 100 fake. I looked at that shit and said, play money. I said, this motherfucker.
Now someone else is gonna pick it up.
Yeah, I dropped it. A homeless dude came and scrambled up. He said, oh, this shit fake. Was mad as fuck. Oh, It was so, that was so frustrating, get kicked out the bar. I'm glad I wasn't talking to no bitches. It was like, y'all want a drink? I got the whole table. No, I got the whole table. Hey, let me get the drinks. And then they put me out. Hey, I'll see y'all later.
You got bail money. Damn, bro, that's crazy.
That shit was so fucked up. After all this work, I find 200 thinking that sometimes I finally got a break in life. And this is fake shit. Boy, I was so goddamn mad, man. I was mad as hell. And I'm still mad. I haven't been asleep. That shit was last night. I didn't go to bed. I'm running on 24 hours right now because I'm angry. That shit was so frustrating, man.
That sucks.
Yeah,
man, I waited a lot of tables and never once checked to see if the bill's real. I don't give a fuck. That's not my problem, bro.
God damn. If that was any other bartender, this is one of the ones that don't know me that well. If it was like Tanner, he would be like, hey, bro, this whole fake, bro. I'd be like, we're fake. Damn, that's fucked up. And then I wouldn't have had to be walked out in shame. Like, you know what I'm saying? This shit was crazy. He wasn't holding me or nothing, you know? So it didn't look crazy. We was just moving briskly, which isn't,
You like hand $100 and then get walked
and
out.
And not get a drink? Yeah. Hey, let me get the niggas behind me and shit in the line. Like, why is he?
Damn, bro. Excuse and you go to Johnny's all me. The time, so it's going to be weird.
Hey, get the fuck out of here. Well, nobody important saw me doing that. And so those guys are going to be side-eyeing me. But the people that I fuck with ain't gonna know what happened. Maybe they told them. So it's just trash, man. When was the last time you looked stupid? Like, bro, that's the stupidest I ever felt. I felt so dumb. All I had to do was look at it. But who examines money they find on the ground?
I will absolutely say that if I found $200 just rolling around, I would be very suspicious. But if the only difference is a fucking serial number, I wouldn't have caught that.
Yeah.
I think the second one would have tipped me off. The second one would have tipped you off? Yeah, the first one, I'm grabbing it. I'm not looking. I'm...
Right,
fucking walking away. But when I see the second one, I'm gonna be like, "Am I getting pranked?" Like this has right. I don't know that I would have caught it, but I know I would have been suspicious on that second one.
Being pranked doesn't come to my mind. My thing is like,
if all they do is change the fucking serial number, like how the fuck are you gonna tell? Like, bruh.
That's so
true. Yeah, no, fuck that.
Well, they sure told at that bar and they put me out the motherfucker.
I would have definitely. Oh, hey, watch out.
Jesus.
I would have definitely went and spent that probably, so.
Well, I tried, motherfucker, but I couldn't. I should have went to a 7-Eleven first.
Look for the guy with the glasses. go to the McDonald's.
The
like, hey,
oldest
7-Eleven
employee I could find. God damn it. But they exist. Like, people who work at places like that are looking for fake money. So it's like they're going to be putting the money up to the fucking light and
that
shit.
Weird-ass marker.
Yeah. So it's like... God. Oh, that was so trash, man. Oh, God.
At least they didn't call the cops, because, like, most fucking assholes would, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because they... Bro, it sucks. You just thought you came up.
Bro, if they called the cops, I would have been...
That's where I was worried it was going. Cause like,
I would have felt awful. I felt so stupid.
Like a counterfeit 10 or whatever, they're just going to be like, all right, cool. But a counterfeit 100, they're going to be like, ugh.
Why the
fuck? But it wasn't counterfeit, so that's probably why they were like, yeah, fuck it. It's like very clearly not
real.
It
says play money on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I felt so dumb when I looked at that other 100 while I was walking to my
sucks,
car.
Man.
I felt so dumb, man. Oh, I'm so glad I wasn't there with no bitches or nothing, man. That shit would have been stupid. Oh, that shit would have been stupid.
That shit sucks.
Well, bitch, I found it. You saw me find it, bitch.
How come you ain't tell me it was fake?
You was happy too, bitch. Don't act like you knew all the time.
Bro, that's too much.
My comedian friend, I had to leave him there because I fucking got kicked out of the fucking bar. And so I messaged him like, hey, I fucking got kicked out of the bar. Those hundreds I was telling you about, because I was happy. I was telling everybody. I was like, them hundreds I was telling you about, them all was fake. So I got kicked out. He was like, I knew it. I was like, nigga, You didn't know it. I didn't say something when I was
there.
That's
the thing, bro. Like, in hindsight, you're like, yeah, of course they're fake. Obviously, right. No one's going to drop $200. But, like, if it happens to you, you're just hoping it's real. Like, you're not going to look a gift horse in them. You're just going to hope,
bro. It's just like, this shit real. This is mine. I was so focused on no one seeing me pick it up. Yeah.
Well, then, you know, like, they got like the hidden cameras. You're on YouTube right now,
and it's like, this is how I feel when people drop money. I'm not a thief. Okay, if I saw someone drop $100, I would say, hey man, you dropped $100. If I see a loose $100 bill around and I don't know who dropped it, I'm not gonna say, hey, who did this, because everybody's gonna say it was me. So I was like, well, you know, that's a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. And then turns out I was duped by the goddamn cosmos. I thought I came up, man. God damn it, I thought I came up.
The Lord and his heavenly hosts are just cracking the
fucking
up,
laughing
right?
Their ass off. I got punked by God. Got God punked. Now I see what you be saying. No, just
that's funny as shit. So I went home and started praying to Satan. Everything turned up since. I don't know.
What are you saying now? I'm about to go Lil Nas X with y'all.
Look, Satan never gave me a fake $100. I'm just saying.
All my Satan money was real.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Bro. So that's what I'm dealing with right now. The pain of being stupid and hating my job.
Speaking of Satan, this is a good time to bring it up. We might as well. It's a fair segue. Speaking of Satan, I got kicked off Facebook again. For those listening who don't know.
God damn it.
So, okay. There is a group called Utah Uncensored. It's a specific.
I invited him to this group.
Bro, that's a great group. I love this group.
I invited him to the group.
This group is a sampling of all the different fucking layers of Utah society.
The one screenshot that you, well, not the one screenshot of like the topic header for this particular Facebook thread tells me everything that I feel like I need to know about this group, which is that it's not for me.
Which is exactly why I'm in that bitch. Like, I joined this group with the express intention of like, just like, fucking with people, you know, like, because it's like these that post is the perfect example of just like there's like inherent problems with it that like
what was this post?
Oh yeah. So for those listening,
yeah,
don't
people
know,
listening,
I have a screenshot of it. Let me
for the listeners at home, observe this screenshot.
You see it? So then I said, you see?
This is what I said right here. Let's take a minute for you to read.
Why do I have a screenshot of Jason Statham's height? Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, this is ADHD. This is what it does.
Who did you message that to? Who did you send that to?
Hey. Bobby. Okay, so this group, Utah Uncensored, has a post. The post says, men, what gets you attracted to a female easily? Ladies, listen.
No. Before you say what you said, I said confidence. I don't know why you had to come in with the boots.
Because, bro, the comments were just, it was a playground of, like, just fucking ignorance, basically. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, like.
Bro, I flew in, dropped in, said, you know, confidence, and then I flew the fuck out. I don't go back and look at what other people say. I don't give a shit. I just want you to know my opinion, and I'm gone.
So.
And he's
I did a similar thing. I swooped in and said, I only fuck with women who worship Satan, and then dipped. Because I knew this is the perfect audience to receive that message. Like, I just knew. Mm. And a series of comments started unfolding, and someone commented like, yeah, you know, the psychos are the best in bed. Some other, like, typically misogynistic and also anti-satanic message that I didn't really like. So,
take kindly to it.
But I was like, you know, sarcasm is the root of all evil, right? So let me answer back with some sarcasm.
That's in the Bible.
Mine. It is in mine. So I replied back with a little bit of sarcasm. And it was a two-part comment. Okay? He said, psychos are the best in bed, implying Satanists are psychotic. And I said, well, Mormons are psychotic. Satanists are actually not. And then my second comment was, and we all know Mormons are trash in bed. And I got kicked off Facebook because of my first comment. Like, not even the one that was actually an insult. Like, right. So I got kicked off Facebook, and as a result, made a new Facebook. And I went from like 1,200 friends to like 40. Like,
you're at 67 now. I went and looked.
Oh, yeah. No, I
went and looked.
I hard cold, like hard cold. Because I realized my Facebook had a lot of people from like high school and shit that
don't bring you any value.
Yeah, like I feel like I don't even interact with them. And then if anything, I just feel like they're kind of like watching me for some weird reason. Like I feel some pressure about like what I post or whatever based on like how they perceive me. And I'm like, I don't want you to have any impact in my life. So I just made a new account and fucking started over from scratch with only people that I fuck with. And the cool part is noticing my demographic of my friends list is awesome. Like it's been really cool. Like before it was like a ton of car guys and people from high school and shit that I just didn't really fuck with. It's like, oh, you have a cool car, I guess we can be Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. Now it is like 40% or probably between 40% and 60% fucking trans, gay, minorities of some sort, and then like a couple car guys here and there, which is like a much better place to go on Facebook and air out your opinions and talk about like your actual fucking thoughts about life if you're mm-hmm. me. So I'm much happier because now I get to post whatever the fuck I want and not worry about like, oh, if fucking such and such sees it, my fucking carbon fiber business will be harmed, so now I can't post this because it'll get around and people won't. It's like right. this whole fucking pressure that I don't have to worry about anymore because mm-hmm. I just have my business actually separate from me now, which mm-hmm. is really nice. It's been fucking great.
So is
and the moral of the story is Mormons are trash in bed. I don't know.
Hey man,
that's the moral of that story.
I think that's perfectly okay to say on Facebook.
Look, we know it's true. It's literally called missionary position. Like, there's a reason we know.
Hey, you can lay there and lock in missionary position. That's when you don't feel like doing all that other shit. When your ankle hurting and shit, you can just, let's just do this right here. Either you ride it or I'm just going to lay down and lock in. That's what the opener for D.L. Hughley kept saying. He was like, missionary is this where you lay down and lock in. We too old to be doing all that other bullshit. I ain't trying to fuck you in the kitchen. Let me just lay down and lock in. We just lay and lock in, baby. But listen, man. Your name on Facebook is different from the name that you used to have on Facebook. Is this new name interchangeable with anti?
Yeah, so basically what it... I guess people on the podcast don't know. I talked to Sheep for sure, but I can't remember. I've talked to a couple people about it. It's not really a big deal, but I'm changing my name kind of permanently. So I have not done it legally yet, but I will. It's just the next step. Like, that's the last thing I have to do. I'm changing it on all accounts and everything now. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's going to be like my backboard. So I'm always going to be anti. I'm just anti. But a lot of the time I hear like, is that your real name mm-hmm. or some shit? And now I have a name. I can be like, well, you know, it's actually Dante, but they're basically the same name. You can pick whichever one. Mm. And then people just accept it suddenly.
Right.
Like it's suddenly now it makes sense and it's fine. And mm-hmm. let's call me whatever. Was before I would have to be like, oh, here's a fucking explanation. Mm-hmm. You know, like.
So and, you don't have to say what the name
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and the real problem is, what I figured out is the real problem is the only people who I would ever have to explain myself to were the exact people I wanted to explain myself to the least. So, like, this gives me the ability to just scoop, like, subvert that whole fucking conversation, mm-hmm. just go off to the side here, and now we can, when I'm at a wedding and talking to someone's fucking stepmom or some weird shit, you know, like... where I don't want to have this conversation, I can just give them a name that they recognize as legitimate, and mm-hmm. then they leave me alone, which right. is fire. I did have one of my best friends from high school reach out. And like, he's been my friend since like fucking we were like 9 or some shit. Like, I can't even remember when I met this guy. Oh fuck, it would have been 2nd grade, so we were 7. This motherfucker has been like with me through it all, you know. He set my head on fire once,
and filmed it.
Okay, and then when I wouldn't put it out, he put it out. I was like, "We're doing it for the Facebook and MySpace, right?" And he put it out, and that's my fucking guy,
right?
He is a rancher, and like, not to my best estimation. I haven't asked him because I don't want to like ruin a good thing, you know. But not to my best estimation, a Democrat at all. So this Republican rancher was one of the people I thought would give me a hard time about it or make it like an issue. And I was kind of worried because I was like, damn, man, like this is a really good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And he did not. He's like, okay, I guess I'll call you that. It's a little weird for me, but fuck it. And I was like, that's cool.
Right.
That's a nice compromise. You can say it's weird. I don't give a fuck. You can think it's weird. It doesn't bother me.
Have you gotten, it sounds like a black name yet?
No.
I feel like you'll eventually get someone say, oh, that's a black, that's it's a like, black name.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
Whisper black, of course.
Sounds
like a black name.
In my mind, it sounds like an Italian name, which is the only thing I had like reservations about because it is an Italian name, but like, I'm Irish, and so like that was the only off-putting thing. Is it's a very Italian name. It's like I wouldn't name myself Francisco, you know. Like some names are very regional, and I'm like, okay, that part's a little weird, but I'd rather have a weird name. Like Dante is a cool name. It's weird, but it's cool. Mm-hmm. My other name is just weird and not cool. Like, so I'm like, at least this way, the weirdness is.
It's not weird.
Your name's cool.
Your other name's not weird. It isn't cool. But it's not weird.
It is for me though, you know, like if someone's gonna say any name, I'm gonna feel some weirdness as if it's not anti, because that's the only name that doesn't trigger anything in my fucking caveman brain saying bad. So if they're gonna use any name, I'm gonna deal with the weirdness. But this way, the weirdness is like, oh, your name's unusually cool, and the other weirdness is like, you sound like a fucking redneck from the 60s. What the fuck is going on, bro? Like, why are you named after a Patrick Swayze character? Mm-hmm. Like, what is wrong with your parents? So now I don't have to deal with that.
There you go.
Now I'm glad. But no one has really made any negative comments or anything because I filtered my friends list out at the same time.
Should have did. If you should have changed it on your other name so you can get.
I couldn't.
That sounds like a
black
name.
What, you know what's fucked up? Facebook wouldn't let me change because I've been blocked too many times.
Oh damn!
So basically, Facebook is persecuting me for thinking that a fucking SUV is not a wagon, okay? Because I got blocked too many times. They made me verify my identity. And now, even if I were to legally change it, like, there's no button. I don't have a button to change my name. And the only way to do it was to make a new account. I didn't want to, but
you know, I haven't had a Facebook for a really long time.
Mm.
And, like, one of the major pushes for me to get rid of my Facebook was specifically that I was not getting anything out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I think they were trying to get their currency up off the ground. They were in the news like a hell of a lot. This was, I think, just before or just after like the Cambridge Analytica type shit started happening.
Yeah.
And this entire time, right, like you're explaining the story, and in my mind it's like, you know, this is meaningful for him. Like, you culled fucking 1,100 people from your friends list that added nothing to your life. And, well, like, my thought process is, like, they shouldn't have been there in the beginning. But
in defense, they are adding me back slowly but surely, and I'm reviewing and accepting or denying them as so. Send your requests to my new account, and I will judge you. And we shall determine if you make the cut.
But you see, like, throughout this entire story, the thing that gets me, like, right at the end, like, that actually makes me think Facebook is, like, there's an actual, like, ethical question as to whether or not you should have a Facebook, is right at the very end, like, your identity is locked in based on misbehaviors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can legally change your name. you can like, you can transition, you can do all kinds of things to your identity, right? Which, all of which are like viable personal actions that like, really you don't, like you don't owe anybody an explanation for, right? Mm. But if you want that shit to actually carry over into this like social space, this virtual social space, yeah, like you gotta fucking prove it now.
It is a little...
I find that objectionable.
It's, I agree. It's just...
I also agree.
I get a lot of value out of Facebook in my daily life. So to me, it's like...
I sold out the Black Hilarity show with Facebook.
Yeah, so that's true.
I made a lot of money.
I think, like obviously, I kind of even separate that stuff because for me, like, my business is entirely separate now. And I still have just as many fucking messages in my inbox I'm refusing to answer because I don't want to work with people. You know, like, mm-hmm, it's not, that has not, I could just have a business account. I don't think everyone is this way, but I actually feel better and more like, safe is the wrong word, but more like aware of my surroundings and kept up if I know like what my ecosystem looks like. Mm-hmm. And like, I use Facebook to be like, okay, you know, oh, I'm not the only one going through this. So-and-so just had a grandma get sick from coronavirus. Okay, cool. And like things like that, just being, having like little news points throughout the world, you know, like if it weren't for Facebook, I would go to Town Square and like read the message board and see what, just like, what are people doing? Mm-hmm. 'Cause like having that, those little pins in the world around me, like helps me feel like
grounded,
like real. Cause, and I think it's just from being homeless for so long. Cause you don't have any of those. You, mm-hmm, don't know what anyone's doing. No one knows what you're doing. And you could like drop off the face of the planet and no one would give a fuck. So like now safe is the word that keeps coming to mind, but I guess secure is a better word. Like I feel more like I'm steering the ship if
you're,
I know.
Yeah, you're in a safe space and that's good.
I guess technically that's a weird way to put it, but you know, yeah, I like having like an awareness of what my friends are doing and, mm-hmm, people I respect think about things, and like it makes me feel better.
Okay. I enjoy it.
Speaking of things people are bitching about on Facebook.
Oh. Oh shit.
No, not like that. It's not a Facebook story. It just happens to be a thing that people all over the internet are complaining about. Building a computer.
Okay. You did this.
I did. And I learned I fucking hate building computers.
You did it. You did it. You took the time out. You fucking
absolutely hate it.
You did.
It's the worst thing in the world.
So you must not hate it that much.
No. So here's the thing.
You almost bought one, and out of frustration, you built a computer.
Yeah. So here's the thing, right? I fucking hate working on cars.
Mm-hmm.
There is almost nothing else that will bring me to tears of rage besides working on a car, and now I've found another thing. Bro, I'm talking, it's 6 a.m. and I am fucking yelling at myself for being so stupid as to not plug the fucking plug into the plug, you know, like dumb shit. And I love it. It's like the most, it's inherently satisfying. And what I figured out is it wasn't until like when I was like buying parts and shit, that part's trivial, boring. It doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't make me feel any type of way. It's a pure commodity exchange, and that's that. Whereas car parts, I love shopping for car parts. So I didn't think it would do this until I tore apart my old computer and didn't have a working computer at all. And I'm just looking at like a pile of parts, and I'm supposed to just do fucking voodoo and make a computer. Like it was that feeling of just like overwhelming, like fuck. I love it. I love it so much. It's like having a car in parts in the corner and no way to get to work. That's, and like knowing that like there's one in there. There's a car in there. I just have to make it. I have to like do the thing.
Right.
Bro, it was the greatest feeling ever when I got it.
So did it make you feel better that you had like the pressure of, oh, I got to get it done before Sunday so we could do the podcast? Or not even that. You got other work you got
to
do too.
Yeah, I was trying to get it done yesterday and it took me 2.5 days. Yeah. It was supposed to take a couple hours and it took 2.5 fucking days. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. And I got the whole motherfucker together and realized... This is like the number one, anyone who's ever built a computer or even seen one being built will understand how stupid what I'm about to say is, but I put the whole thing together and didn't turn it on. And like normally when you build a computer, you put everything together outside the case, just the main parts, and you turn it on and make sure it works. And I was stupid and I didn't do that. And I put it all in the case, wire managed everything, spent two fucking days on this computer because of physical like hardware problems. Like my fans were stuck in the old case and I had to break them to get them out because they used some stupid proprietary connector instead of regular screws like normal fucking fans. Shit like that, that I love. Those problems I love, right? I'm super stressed, super frustrated, but I'm excited. I finally get it together and I hit the on button. Fucking nothing, bro.
That's it goes trash.
To that. It goes to that boot up screen and then just freezes. And I'm like, you gotta be fucking shit. I almost jumped out the window. I was so fucking mad. I wanted to fucking build, get a ladder and jump from higher. Like it I was so fucking, like in that moment, I saw euphoria and fucking purgatory at the same time. Like,
like getting kicked out of a bar when your $100 bill ain't real. Bro,
yeah. I
some bullshit. I know how you feel.
I was so fucking just like, oh my God, dude. So frustrated. Like, that was some bullshit. And in that process, I just learned that like, that's the type of thing. Like it, bro, when it's like, there's no option, you just need to make it work and it doesn't want to work. That fucking stress. I love it. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. I thrive under that. That's my favorite thing in the world. And now I've discovered a newfound love for building computers because I fucking hate building computers.
Mm-hmm.
That's been my week.
I'm the same, except the first problem I run into, I'm frustrated as shit and I can't do it. Hey, listen, I tried. If I would have turned that computer on, that shit didn't work, man, I would have sold all that shit.
Oh, God, you don't know how bad I wanted to. Oh, I thought about it. I was like, fuck, I guess I could probably sell it and recoup it and just, fuck, man, I could return shit to Amazon. Like, I'm just, like, thinking through.
Just saying, oh, fuck, bro. I got to put all these screws back in the bag.
It's so much, it's inherently just way more frustrating with computers than cars. New cars, not so much, but old cars are like, it's a fucking mechanical problem. You look at it and the thing turns the thing and the thing hits the thing and button does the everything. You can physically see what it's connected to. Bro, all these bitches were plugged in and it didn't turn on. I don't know. I don't fucking know, man. Your BIOS update my dick, bro. Fuck out of here. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what the fuck. I hit the button. It didn't do. And I go online and everyone's like, you got to update your BIOS. I'm like, bitch, it won't turn on. How the fuck do I update anything? I can't even get it to connect to shit. I'm like yelling. Bro.
Jesus Christ.
My cat's meowing like, are you okay?
I like problems that I know how to fix. You know what I mean? Once I run into something that I just don't fucking know, and I don't know anybody who would know, it's over. It's over.
Yeah.
If I look on YouTube and I gotta search more than the first search, oh, it's over. I'm selling all that shit. Nah.
Yeah, the situation of looking at all of the parts and knowing that there is something in there, that is a nightmare.
I love it, dude. I love it. Oh,
no,
my
God. Nope. Not knowing where to start, not having not the tools. Nope. Nope.
Oh, I love it.
Jesus Christ.
It's the best.
That sounds painful.
That is in the way of me having the thing that does the thing.
you're a masochist.
And I... listen. I probably saved 5 to 6% by building it myself. And it also took months. So it was worth it, really, is what I'm trying to say. It's not completely built yet. I'm still waiting for parts in the mail.
See?
But I got it.
I got it. Now you got to disassemble a little bit.
No, fully. Yeah.
Okay, well.
I have to replace the CPU.
I thought you were going to have to open the side panel and slide.
No, I'm going to be water cooling it.
Oh,
God. I've decided to put water where my electronics go, and it's going to be great.
Yeah,
so I am very excited for this. I am very excited for this.
Get some water on his shit. Fuck all this shit up.
Bro, there it's...
And it's going to say perfect.
Oh, man. You know, I think we all like thrive under different, you know, different conditions. And I don't encounter enough in life that problem. Like, that's my favorite.
I sat there blowing water out of it for 3 days. With my mouth.
Bro, I'm so excited, man.
Fuck,
so now I have a working computer with like 20 terabytes of space and fucking a 3090, which is
better.
A lot better. Like,
yeah,
10 times faster than my old computer. Mm-hmm. Like, bro, I did a test, like a benchmark test that was like, it's like, see how your computer compares to other computers around the world, you know? I did this bitch, and it literally asked it. It was like, is this a UFO? Is this not a computer? Jesus. I got 270% or some dumb shit, 200 and something percent of the, like, score somehow.
Well, shit.
So you, I'm like,
the fuck out of it, I guess.
Yeah, I felt great.
Yeah.
I'm so sure it was like did. Watching your kid be on the honor roll, you know? Like,
if this hoe freezes at all.
Oh, I'm fucking throwing myself through the fucking window, dude. That's it. I'm done. I fucking murder seppuku. I don't care. I'm done, bro.
Like, we fucking lose this episode, I'm gonna be pissed,
bro. I'm
you non-computer fucking building motherfucker.
That's the thing, man. That level of responsibility is new too. Like before, if something goes wrong, it's like, it's a computer.
Right.
Computers have problems.
Right.
Now, if something goes wrong, it's fucking me. It's my I hate myself for that shit now. Like, bro. Oh my god. It's like right after you put a new part on the car and then you think it's running fine, you take off, and as soon as you get on the freeway, it fucking breaks down and you're like, I'm a fucking dumbass. I deserve this. Like, that's how I feel now. Mm-hmm. It's just, computers are just cars, but cheaper. It's like, that's really all it is. It's
computers are just cars, but cheaper.
That's why. I don't.
That's a callback. But, that's, hey, it's fucking fire that you did that shit, man. You fucking did it.
Yeah.
I'm appreciative. Listen, of
we,
that.
We needed you. And you came through. And I appreciate it, bro.
At extreme personal cost.
And listen.
Bro, I went out this morning to buy parts. I had to meet up with the guy in a parking lot. Literally. I'm trying to Venmo him. My Venmo's like, this is a really large amount. Are you sure about this?
You got the stuff.
Bro, literally.
Yeah, like, motherboard.
Give me the graphics. Give me the graphics card. Let me make sure it's good. Yeah. Literally, bro.
Oh, like, you fucking like lick the side of it. Connections are solid.
Yeah, bro. This shit. Damn, bro.
Well, this is, hey. It's been a process. I've never built a computer before. My
I
last
thought you
one,
built that one. The last one.
Yeah. So my last one, I did like. Basically what I now know to be all the parts I hate and didn't do the part I enjoy, because I literally didn't, I ran out of time basically. So I was like, okay, well, I have all the parts here. I shopped for all the parts. All that needs to happen is they just need to go together, and I can't afford, I don't have time to fix it if something goes wrong. So I took it to a place and a guy literally built it for me, but I didn't know that at the time. And I felt like I totally helped. But now that I've built one myself...
You didn't do shit.
I didn't do shit. That motherfucker did it all. Which
you just
is,
bought the parts, apparently.
Yeah, like, basically. Because the thing is, like, there's so many... Everything... the things you don't know going into it are the order in which to do things. And that made it 100... Like, that was the problem. It's like, I would put the graphics card in and then be like, fuck, now I need to take that out because it's in the way.
Right.
And that... Just every step, bro. I took apart this thing more than I put it together. Mm. I only had to put it together once. I took it apart multiple fucking times trying to get it to, like, oh, no, this is in the way. Oh, this wire won't fit with it. Like, everything. So now that I know how much... Like, how his, you know, years of experience before made that job easier than it should have been... Now I can say, like, no, I built this motherfucker.
Yeah. Hey, bro, that's that's machining, bro. Totally. Like, when you're
yeah, like, imagine a new guy comes and he you just have him hit the button and he feels like he did it, right. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, well, I set up the fucking shit.
Yeah, that's
but,
how
but
that's
even,
how it felt.
Even like when you're doing the setups, if you're like as new as I am, even compared to 15-year long Samuel who's doing the job too. Like, he can set up the same part in 2 hours that I set up in 8, you know what I mean? Because I gotta, oh, shit, I forgot to put the shit in the shit. Oh, I forgot to put that on first, you know, shit like that.
I think, like, a common, it's a common allegory, but maybe you haven't heard it. I like it a lot. It's like, a guy's, like, you know, driving his car to work every day, and suddenly it starts making a weird noise. So he's like, you know, I'm just gonna take it in and have him look at it. And he takes it in, and the guy at the fucking... shop looks at it for like 5 minutes, turns one screw and says, that'll be $300. And he's like, what the fuck? It only took you 5 minutes. You only turned one screw. And the response is, this only took me 5 minutes, but it took me 10 years to learn which screw to turn.
Right.
Like,
I've heard that.
That's what you're paying for. Mm-hmm. That, I feel like, is true in everything, especially true the more complex mechanically something gets.
Yes.
CNC machining, cars, all that shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, they all work based off very simple physics principles.
Exactly.
But, like, learning which one to pay attention to where, like, what step goes what.
Right.
Is like, fuck, man.
Yeah, it's like... Sam knows what to listen for when the spindle's turning. You know what I'm saying? That type of shit. But I gotta run the part and fuck it up to see what's wrong first. You know what I mean? Now I've wasted a part where he just fucking knew immediately.
That's been the coolest part of getting old, you know?
Yeah.
Like, now that we're, like, touching on 30, mm-hmm. it's like, that's the part that now I look back at, like, teenage me, you know? And, like, you kind of know everything that you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
It, bro, that experience is, like, invaluable.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it is, for sure. It is, for sure, man. You can't take that away.
Yep. That's the important part, man. And that's what building a computer taught me.
So, I got something else to say.
I'm interested.
And this is a podcast, so I should say it.
dun, dun, dun.
TJ says. This is where we'll end. There's going to be a jingle here. Listen. I was having a conversation last night with my brother and a friend of mine, and we were all on PlayStation and, you know, talking to each other. And before I start this, I want to preface this by saying this is a very black conversation, and I want you guys to feel comfortable stating your opinions, you know, but what we were talking about is, it turned into a yelling thing that I was listening through to see what the fuck everyone's point was. And I was trying to mediate a little bit because I'm the only one that isn't insane on this fucking call.
Sheep knows that feeling.
Yeah. So basically, we were talking about the progression of black people through history and what that looks like in the future. And what needs to happen in order for any change to occur, or if we should just accept that changes won't occur and learn how to adapt and move accordingly. My brother's point was, you know, if I built something with my team of friends, then we as a group can have something that we can then pass down to our children. The other guy's point was, okay, yeah, you'll be able to do that with your group of friends, but look at all the other shit that black people have to deal with. Shouldn't we be fighting against the systems that make it difficult for us instead of, you know, not worrying about it and trying to, you know, work through these problems instead? There's obviously very difficult things that need to be addressed and need to be taken care of in our community to make sure that equality exists and it's totally equal across the board. But how long would that take? And you know, there are people who are fighters and there's people who aren't. There's people who are not necessarily willing to get on the front lines, and they just want to live their lives. You know, they just want to do the things that make them happy. I guess the question that I would pose to you guys is not just black people, but anybody who experiences any sort of discrimination or inequality. I'm not going to say wrong, but is it better to fight for the whole or fight for yourself in these situations? You see what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to listen to Sheep's take first because I have a pretty pointed opinion about this.
Do you remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about the shooter who, like, came into a classroom and instructed all of the men to leave so that he could, like, kill the women as, like, without any...
With impunity?
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
A part of that conversation was kind of like the idea of, like, what is your responsibility, like, in trying situations like that, right? And I've had conversations before where, like, you know, the fundamental question becomes, if you are unwilling or unable to participate in, like, the discourse, or in the system that dictates how you live, like, does that mean that you have less of a right to speak your mind about what it is or demand for change, right? Mm-hmm. And my opinion has always been, like, you know, and this is, like, this can be good and, like, this can be either good or bad, but, like, my knowledge or experience in politics should not preclude me from having an opinion about what I should be getting out of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially if you're in a situation where it doesn't matter if you do or do not have experience or, like, or knowledge of it. Like, you are just by nature of living in a society subject to what those politics end up saying, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think that, like, there is a, like, from my perspective, a moral justification. Like, it is morally better to fight for the, like, the betterment of everybody who shares your particular situation. But I also don't think that it's mandatory or should be mandatory, right? Like... I mean, like, if you think about it this way, if you want change, right, if you specifically want change for Black Americans as a whole or Black people, like, globally, are you, like, do you think that it's fair for you specifically, and this is not, like, there's no right answer to this question, but do you think that it would be fair for you specifically to give up the things that you like in life to get into politics and spend your entire life fighting for it? Like, would that be fair? Regardless of whether or not you would do it, do you think it would be fair to ask that of you?
No more comedian TJ. You have to go be a politician.
Oh,
now.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Not at all. only reason I hesitated was because, well, you can ask me whatever the fuck you want to ask. But if it's like a demand of me, mm-hmm. I feel like,
well, like, I think,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I think the point he's trying to get at is, like, if people say, like, oh, you're just a comedian, you're not allowed to, like, you can't have an opinion about this. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to be a politician in order to have an opinion about politics is
right.
The vibe I'm getting from his question.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's a thing. No, you don't have to. I feel like you don't have to be a superhero just because you got superpowers. You don't have to. You know, there's a responsibility that you may feel based on, you know, I have the ability to help this person and I didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably a bad analogy. Now that I'm thinking about it.
it's closer than you think to a good one. Like, what I would particularly phrase it, like, you don't have to have superpowers to be a superhero, right?
Otherwise, you're just a regular hero.
Fucking.
Look, that's fine. I mean, you just be a regular hero. It's fine.
Firemen wear those hot suits. That's almost
true.
Batman had gadgets.
Kind of super. Okay. Point taken.
Okay. but yeah, like, Martin Luther King was a superhero. You know what I mean? Malcolm X, those guys who fought for civil rights in the past, they were superheroes. Fucking who's fighting for us now that hasn't been canceled yet?
Isn't it that the
I think legendary is a word I would use to describe them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in this case of saving our people, like, literally, yeah. they made leaps and bounds. Like, and Martin Luther King got us voting rights, literally, like, and a lot of other people that went along the way, but he led that charge.
Yeah, just the first one that came to mind.
Yeah, so I mean, every black person can't be Martin Luther King. Like, we just don't have the conviction. We don't have the...
I mean, in my opinion, like, part of the entire purpose of his particular struggle was to, like, make sure that not everybody had to be him. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Fucking...
Yeah, so I agree with my brother, who is the one that made the point about, like you gotta put your mask on first before you put anyone else's on. They tell it on every airplane, you know? You can't help anybody until you help yourself. And once you get in a position where you can help somebody else, it's up to you to do that or not. Because in my opinion, one of the things that has kept us back is generational wealth. Generational wealth has been almost incredible. It's been incredibly difficult to receive being black, because there's a lot of things that we missed out on. We weren't taught. We were put in situations where we couldn't acquire that wealth. So if we start building it now, then in the future we'll have a stronger leg to stand on. And you just can't help everybody from the bottom. And it doesn't necessarily mean wealth. It could mean attention. You know, if you grow a big YouTube following, you can get the word out like you want to get it out. You know, there's a lot of people who came up that way. A lot of activists, a lot of people who didn't necessarily get rich first, but they garnered some sort of leverage to be able to convince people of whatever their narrative is, and you know, that's powerful, but you can't do it until you elevate yourself. I don't think so, and I think so I think the most important thing is to make sure your house is clean before you start trying to clean other people's houses.
I think, like, it's so hard to isolate any of these issues from the world they exist in.
Mm-hmm.
And, like...
Yeah, I mean, every situation is different, man. There's so many individuals who are willing to do or not willing to do something for our people or whatever, and it's okay, you know? It's okay. You gotta build yourself up before you can do anything, in my opinion. I mean... Obviously, you can shout from your soapbox, or you can go to town square and fucking yell it out, post on Facebook or whatever you're going to do. But if no one's going to see it because you got, 1,000 friends, or, you don't have any influence within any political powerful social, who even does?
Like, even politicians can't just make shit happen. It still takes years.
Exactly, like, man. It's a slow moving process. So you got to eat while the shit is happening. And that's what we was trying to get across to that brother, man. You can't do it by yourself. So you might as well get yourself to a point to where you can find people to help you do it or something.
I think just it's all gray area.
Gray.
Yeah.
As fuck. Interesting conversation though.
You gotta make that money.
Yeah.
First.
Gotta make it.
First and foremost.
Gotta make it. Gotta save. Stop buying Jordans. You can't keep buying Jordans and expect to change the world.
I hate like, I hate so much those talking points, because it's like, God damn it, man. I hate, like, my, my fucking nephew posted this shit. He posted a meme that was something like, every day you decide how your day is going to be. If you're broke, you can decide whether to be happy about it. If, mm-hmm. You have the power to make your day a good one, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. It's like one of those memes. And I just, like reached out to him, because I know, like, I've only met this dude a handful of times, mm-hmm. but I know we grew up very similarly, so I feel like there's some way I can maybe sway him a little bit. So I fucking reach out to him and comment, and I'm like, this is a wonderful point if you're a straight white man with fully able-bodied lifestyle, but otherwise, this is real fucking wrong. Like, in demonstrable, fucking measurable ways, mm-hmm. here's why you can't just decide to make more money. Like, here's why. And at the end of the conversation, it was a lot of those talking points. Mm-hmm. Like, well, if you just stop buying Jordans, or if you just stop buying iPhones, and I couldn't.
You know who buy Jordans.
I know your dog whistles. I'm literally, it's all dog whistles. I'm like, okay, so you're just listing off stereotypes. Yeah. Then you didn't say, well, if you stop buying Doc Martens, they're way more expensive. I don't know what the fuck. Like,
it's just like, bro, buying them boat shoes, maybe you can help black people.
Bro, and it's like, man, he's just on that line of like, well, I grew up poor and I made it.
Oh,
like,
God.
Yeah, because you're a straight white dude in the military. What the fuck you like? What the fuck you think? Like,
he's like, even from that perspective, like, for every fucking advantage that, like, an individual straight white, like, dude has, fucking, you're still not immune to propaganda. You are still not stronger than the social forces around you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's my problem. That exemplifies my problem with why I don't have a great solution or way to phrase it, but mm-hmm. I get very bad feelings when people look at money as the solution, because mm-hmm. then it presents any poor white person with the option to say, well, I didn't have money and look at me.
Right.
It doesn't take money.
Right.
But like, the thing is, like, that's because money wasn't the way you leveraged yourself out of that situation. Mm-hmm. It takes leverage, and for some people, money is the leverage, but leverage is the most important thing here.
Right.
Not physically $1.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's why, to me, it's like hard to even like it's such a nebulous point that, like, well, it wasn't specifically the money, but it's important to me because I just know so many people who would use the defense of like, oh yeah, I was poor, I made it. And I'm like, yeah, but leverage, like, there's a lot of ways it exists, and you had every other one besides that one. So right. That's why it's like such a so important to me to like clarify, because I just feel like people look at have money, life good, don't have money, life bad, and I'm like, that's the fucking wool they're pulling over your eyes, man. Mm-hmm. You got to see past the matrix.
Yeah, I don't have no money and I'm happy. No, I'm
well, you hate your job.
Yeah, I do. I
you got to have it because money.
Yeah. God damn it.
Money
God
did it. Just recently fuck you.
It did.
Bro, for real.
That wasn't real money.
That was bullshit.
That wasn't real money.
And if you would have been rich enough to ignore those $100 bills.
Man, I don't give a damn how rich you are.
Bro, you know
there's a lot of people ignoring
that. You know
that
Bezos loses money if he stops to pick up that dollar bill.
Hey, Bezos would probably pick it up before me.
Oh, he probably would. He probably would. You're right.
He probably got a vacuum.
He'd probably knock your ass over to get it.
I can see Jeff Bezos
cut down hundreds of acres of Amazon rainforest for that $100 bill. Shit.
I can see Jeff Bezos one of those metal detectors on the beach trying to find coins.
Okay, hey, this is actually a good segue, kind of, but it reminds me. I think, bro, this is a good example of where, like, I think we need to stop and we need to all take a step back. And there's a big fucking fence in America. Mm-hmm. And we need to determine, like, who's on what side of the fence. And we can argue about, like, ways to get to where we're going, right? But at the end of the day, we need to stop and realize, like, we're all kind of on the same side here. And the thing that reminded me of that is this conversation. First of all, like, you know, there might be different ways towards fixing this problem, but we all recognize it's a problem. We all want the same solution. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of how are we going to fix that. Now, Dunkin' Donuts.
Huh.
Have you seen? Mm. Dunkin' Donuts released a promotion saying, if you got your vaccine, come show us your card and we'll give you a free donut.
Okay.
It's fucking awesome. That is capitalism done right.
Right.
Congratulations, Dunkin' Donuts. I appreciate what you're trying to do. But the comment section did not.
Oh, no.
So you have the first, my gut reaction was I went to the comments seeing like 300 comments on a Dunkin' Donuts post. I was like, what the fuck is going on down there?
Dunkin's pretty popular.
And I expected mad conservatives because they're always mad. Mad mm-hmm. at Starbucks, mad at fucking Michael Jordan. I don't know who they're mad at now. They're just mad at everyone.
They love Jordan.
Well, they don't want people buying his shoes, so what the fuck?
They do want people buying the shoes. That's the trick.
Oh, that's the trick.
You see the white man. No, the man.
Bro.
Is the devil. No.
Hey, don't do the devil like that, okay? Okay. But I went to the comment section, and I saw the conservatives that I expected to see, like, you know, Dunkin' Donuts will never get my dollar again. Cancel culture at its finest.
Right.
And then I saw that the majority of people upset were fucking liberal, which was weird. I didn't expect it.
What and was the angle?
The resounding
angle.
Sentiment.
Ah, jinx.
The resounding sentiment was, well, if you need a donut to go get your vaccine, you're a terrible person. I would get my vaccine regardless of a free donut. Oh my God. And just like, I couldn't believe that that was the most, like, I was like, so, like, where did we go wrong?
Bitch, just go get a donut, bitch, and shut the fuck up.
Or fucking
just
don't.
Go get your vaccine so the CEO, and just shut the fuck this, up.
Yeah, for real.
Well, apparently they got him already. I don't need a fucking donut, bitch.
Right. But no, the CEO, of Dunkin' Donuts, the CEO
actually,
made
I'd
a comment.
To see how many people got donuts?
That's a good way to know.
Give me one of them.
That's a good way to know. The CDC has reported that 73,000 people have gathered at Dunkin' Donuts today. This is a record high. Right. We think the economy is going to be doing good next year.
Yeah. There's a protest outside of Dunkin' Donuts where thousands of people were seen eating donuts.
With donuts.
The fucking. The CEO said, look, man, if you don't like it, you don't need to come to Dunkin' Donuts. That's okay. And I appreciated that he just said that and didn't, like, turn it in. Like, yeah. You know, it didn't,
we're
like,
so sorry
CEOs.
If we offended anyone.
Yeah, he didn't fucking, in these unprecedented
times.
In
these unprecedented
times. He was just like, look, you don't have to come here, man. It's not my fucking problem. Like. And I was like, that's cool.
I'm so sick of reading that shit.
Oh, God. I'm so
We're in unprecedented times right now.
Speaking of unprecedented,
and
when
that
is
means
your,
you need a Subway sandwich.
When is your article
come on
coming
down
out?
To Subway.
Huh? When is your article coming out?
It's going to be in the next month's issue. So April. It's in the
Slug
April
magazine
issue.
Came up in my Google News.
Oh.
And so I remembered and was like.
Yes. For those of you listening, I did write an article for Slug magazine. And, I done did turned it in a couple weeks ago, and it should come out in April.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm being highlighted as the April spotlight on the first page. I went and took a picture for it. I smiled in it, and it's gonna be great. I've never been in a publication before, and here I am. Exciting. So, yeah, that should be coming out next month. Look for it, man. It's dropping next month. You know what I'm saying? I got my article dropping next month. Y'all come on out. See the article.
I'm excited.
Yeah, it's fire. It's so fire, man.
It's really cool.
This last year, man, has been crazy. I've literally only done about 5 shows. Like, I've only been on about 5 shows since I started my career in comedy. That's a lot of fucking shows for the first year of comedy. And I didn't really even think about it until I was talking to Arvin about it. And I was saying it in sort of a disparaging way of myself. Like, man, I've only been on, like, 5 shows. And he was like, in your first year? And I was like, oh, shit.
In these unprecedented times.
Yeah, that's the real fucking kicking. Yeah. That's a story we did not tell on the podcast. We met up with Arvin. We went out and hung out with Arvin. Took fucking photos with Arvin. Did some filming with Arvin.
Mm-hmm. I put those videos up on my Facebook, which you would not know about.
Yeah,
I would know nothing.
One. You should just make one and add us
just
as friends.
A shadow.
Yeah, just make a. I'm downstairs.
Yeah. Anything you post, we'll share it. You don't need friends.
It'll be like an exclusive, like, fucking club that you're one of the downstairs friends.
Oh, you get to follow.
You know where he's at? I heard he's downstairs. The sheep downstairs. That's your handle. Any other current trending happenings?
I spilled all my beans.
Yeah.
I didn't. I think I had anything to spill, but we talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was a good episode.
It was.
And I appreciate you guys coming over. Yes. And I think that has been an episode.
Also, April 4th, Funny First Sunday. Come out. Come on out, man. Enjoy yourself. It's going to be hilarious, man. We got Arvin Mitchell. We got Tahir Moore coming. I'm going to be on the show. It's going to be fun. Come out. Funny First Sunday. Downtown Wise Guys.
Tahir Moore.
Tahir Moore.
Who's actually kind of famous. Arvin Mitchell, who's actually kind of famous.
Yeah.
And TJ, who's actually kind of famous. This is going to be a fire
ass show. In some circles.
Come to Funny First Sundays. You can find it online. You can also go to wiseguys.com.
Wiseguys.com. April 4th.
Has this downtown. Been an episode?
It's been an episode.
Thank you for listening to The Downstairs.
Peace.